In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He welcomes sinners, and the Pharisees hate him for it. He claimed to be the Son of God, and yet he hangs out with these tax collectors and prostitutes, the drug addicts, the terrorists, the homosexuals, and those who run abortion clinics. It doesn't make sense to them. They didn't fall into sin by the weakness of their flesh, but rather they immersed themselves in the mire of sin. And now they sit down next to your little children in the pew wanting to hear from Christ. We're quick to pull our children just a little bit closer, feigning politeness as if to give them room, but we know our own hearts. We don't mind if they hear God's word, we just don't want to have to associate with people like that. O Pharisees that we are. It is not the Pharisees who are entering the kingdom of God, but it's these sinners and tax collectors who eat with Christ and receive his eternal grace. For the more faith deepens, the more you recognize your sin, and the more you flee to Christ in repentant faith. Repentance is our daily exercise, turning away from sin and toward God in faith. This repentance causes the angels in heaven to rejoice. And it's the word of God that leads you to repentance, as it shows you the gravity of your sin, how serious it truly is. Sin separates you from God. You can't claim to be a Christian and then still pursue sin. We turn away from sin and toward God in faith. So these tax collectors and sinners despise their former way of life, even as we are to despise all our sins, even those ones that seemed exciting and fun and not really all that big deal. It's just what college kids do, or young kids, or whatever station you want to put yourself in. We turn away from those sin, and we turn toward God in faith. It's embarrassing. Guilt and regret often do fill our hearts. We desire to be more patient and kind and loving, yet we have failed to carry it out. And so the world calls us hypocrites, but we're not. Because we recognize our sin, we confess that we have not done what we want to do. They say that you act like a Christian on Sunday morning, but the rest of the week you don't live like one, and they're probably right. The good we want to do, we have not done. We've often given a very poor witness to our faith. Other religions have been far more kind, loving, and generous than we have shown. Other people have handled stress and adversity far better than we have. They may even have lived a more moral life than we have. It's easy to pick out our faults. We're not immune to this, for we even bear the flesh of Adam. But that doesn't mean that they are right and we are somehow wrong. What they fail to realize is Christianity is not centered on our works. To be a Christian doesn't mean that you're a pillar in the community and that your kids never get into trouble or that you never get angry or belittle someone. To be a Christian doesn't mean that you are the most patriotic person there is and your family never fights or argues. To be a Christian doesn't mean that you handle everything with dignity and that you always speak with profound wisdom. Rather, to be a Christian means that you repent when you fall into sin. You turn away from sin and you turn toward Christ in faith. To be a Christian is to listen to the voice of your good shepherd, to desire his forgiveness, to seek comfort in his obedience and in his suffering. That is repentance, and that is our daily life, turning away from sin and back toward God in faith. So the angels in heaven do not rejoice over those who build children's hospitals or help the homeless or even give need to those in great crises. But the angels in heaven rejoice over the sinner who repents. For the more our faith grows, the more we recognize our sin. Repentance is the daily life of a Christian. Where else can we turn but to Christ? He alone is the one who searches for us and finds us, picks us up and places us on his shoulders to carry us joyfully to the gates of heaven. No one else can accomplish that. Christ alone is our Savior. He alone carries us toward heaven. And he rejoices that he is the one who forgives us. The angels in heaven rejoice that God forgives us. So let us also rejoice that God has come to forgive sinners like you and me. Let us rejoice that God has forgiven tax collectors and drug addicts, those addicted to sin, and those who've lived shameful lives. Because God is the God of sinners. He came for the sick, not for the healthy. So yes, I suppose others are right. We don't live the life that we desire. We call ourselves the people of God, and yet we have lived contrary to our God. It's embarrassing. So often we're filled with guilt and shame. That is precisely why we come here. Because here we find a Savior. Here the law shows us our failings. It humbles us. It strips away everything we thought was great about ourselves. And the more our faith grows, the more we recognize just how far short we have come of keeping those laws perfectly. Be perfect as I am perfect, God says. It humbles us, it shames us, it cuts us and exposes our filthy, disgusting sins. It leaves us vulnerable and weak. It hurts to hear the law. But the law is good, because that law shows us where our sins end in. That law shows us that we need a Savior. It leads us to repentance. We can't repent on our own. The law brings us to our knees and reveals our sinful hearts. It is those thorns that show us that it is those thorns that prick us, showing us that we have wandered away from our Savior. It is the broom that knocks us around and sweeps us up with the garbage. For the more our faith grows, the more we study the law of God, the more we recognize how far short we have come. It's embarrassing and shameful. And yet that very same word of God shows us what to do with that shame. Repent. Back to Christ in faith. You can't just simply give it some time, as the world says, time heals all wounds. I suppose for earthly relationships that's true, but is God one to forget our sins? Will he really say, well, enough time has passed, I suppose I can let it go? 1,000 years are like a day to him, and a day is like 1,000 years. Repentance means we stop the sin, for the wages of sin is death. Repentance means that we turn away from those vile and filthy works and we turn toward living a holy and godly life. Why would we continue to heap up judgment upon ourselves by continuing in that sin? And yet repentance also means that we look to Christ for forgiveness. We look to Christ for comfort. For only his gospel can bring us the peace that surpasses all human understanding. Only he is the one who has borne our sins into death on the tree, that tree of shame that you and I deserved. Only he is the one, by obedience, suffering, death, and then resurrection, who has won forgiveness. So he gives us forgiveness. He takes away our sins, and then he bestows upon us his righteousness, an alien righteousness, because it comes completely outside of us. It comes solely from Christ. So the law of God exposes our sins, while the gospel picks us up and places us on Christ's shoulders as we head to those gates of heaven rejoicing. The Pharisee's heart is still alive and well, though. How many think that God accepts them because they're good people who try their best? How many of those people who enter churches are just curious about what this or that church has to say about God? They're not searching for the truth, but they're searching for a God who is useful to them. They don't want a boring and out-of-date God. They're looking to hear what they want to hear. How many people come to church desiring the forgiveness from Christ? How many people come desiring to be changed by this God, to be given a new heart, new life, new actions? How many people desire the comfort of Christ's forgiveness found in his holy wounds? You see, the former people think that they are okay with God, while these latter people recognize their sin and desire nothing more than the forgiveness that he brings. The regrets that we have testify to our sinful nature. Our shame and our guilt reveal that we have sinned. It's embarrassing, for we call ourselves Christians, and yet at times we have lived contrary to this Christian life. For the more that faith grows in us, the more we recognize just how far we have come from keeping God's laws perfectly. But do not despair, and don't ignore those sins. Rather, in repentant faith, flee back to Christ, as the tax collectors and sinners did. Leave all sin behind us. Let repentance be our daily exercise. We can't trust in our works or our accomplishments or our feelings, but the Word of God who has taken on flesh, searches for us and finds us. He is our good shepherd who picks us up, and he will not set us down until we enter those very gates of heaven. And so even repentance is the work of God for us. Repentance is the work that God does through his word in our hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.